Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
In the last many weeks, we've been speaking about breaking the curses in your life, and in our last episode, we tried to bring that to a conclusion. But the reality is that what we want to go on into speaking about from today is actually a continuation of that. Because when we're talking about breaking the curses in your life, we're looking at it from a negative perspective. That is, removing the things that are negative from our lives. There is a positive aspect to it, which is what I want to talk about today. Beginning from today, I want to speak on what I called building a great future today. Let me remind us of some very important points we have made over the previous discussions. Very importantly is that issue of seed time and harvest. I said that life is in seasons. Generally, we can talk about two seasons. One season in which you lay a foundation for the future. And that is the season of seed time, which when studying from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, it called the days of young manhood. Those days are the days in which you lay the foundation for your future. Like my topic says, building a great future today. What I'm explaining by that is this. What you will become tomorrow is decided today. It is not when you get into tomorrow that you now begin to decide, what do I want to become? What do I want to become? Life is not lived like that. What God allows you is the opportunity when there is no crisis, when pressure is not yet upon you to achieve in life, when you do not yet have children going to school that you have to pay fees, when there is no pressure on you to own your own house, when there is no pressure on you to pay university fees for your children. You are supposed to sow seeds, lay foundation that will be reaping as harvest in the days of pressure. That's why you will hear again and again, the Bible will say, before the evil day comes, that is the day when demand will be made upon you to bring forth fruit in life. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When life begins to demand that you should have achieved at this time, you have children, they need money to go to school. You have children, they need money to eat. You are building a house, you need to complete it. You need to make a name in your generation. Now, at such times, what comes upon you are not the decisions you are taking at that time. They are the decisions that you took during the days of seed time, during the days of young manhood. Now, we have explained that principle again and again. Another principle which I want to also recall to mind is this issue of spiritual things controlling physical things. Life is not a product of the physical things that happened before this time. What I mean is that the man who succeeds today, you cannot predict it yesterday by the things happening that you can see in his life. That is, if you saw a young man going to university, and that young man in school turned out to be the best in his class. This guy was so good, he used to teach everybody. At the end of the day, he came out with a first class. Now, you assume that that guy should do well. You know, you look at it, a professional course. So maybe he had a first class in law, and he went to law school, and then also had a first class there. So you expect that, this guy will be a senior advocate within the first 10 years of his practice. He's going to make a lot of money. The Bible says that Solomon was speaking. He said, the race of life is not necessarily to those people. That is, you can find out that that young man in 20 years' time will be struggling, looking for money to pay his children's school fees, and will hardly find it. Because life does not answer to your personal skills. It doesn't answer to your pressure. It doesn't answer to your desires in life or how you have tackled life by your strength. Solomon said, I have noticed it, that it is the man that had a third class in school and a third class in law school that will become the senior advocate and become the wealthy lawyer. Are you getting my point? Now, it does not mean that first class people don't ever make it. He's just saying that first class is not a guarantee of success. Now, that's what we mean by physical things don't necessarily predict what a man's life will become. But listen to this, spiritual things actually control what will come to pass in life. And that is why anybody laboring should labor in the spiritual realm. Now, it does not mean you should go and join the cult and cross his leg and start meditating. That's not what we're talking about. We are saying that physically unrelated matter to success in life may be the things controlling your success. Let me explain what I'm trying to say there. I want to give us an example. He said that honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that I have given you. You understand that? That you might prosper and live long in this land. Now, you will discover that a young man who runs away from home neglects the words of his father Are you getting my point? Neglects to help his father when he could, pursuing after money. He will try and never get it. But his brother, who left business opportunities, who left schooling opportunities so that he could be around the house to take care of his sick father, will be the one that will break forth into prosperity. Now, you will not link the fact that this young man took care of his father to what is happening to him in life. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That is what God was saying. He said, he that dishonors his father and drives away his mother, he said his lamp will go out in the time of darkness. That is, a man is doing business, suddenly it collapses. Why? Because one day he hit his father and did not apologize. And his father never forgave him and did not bless him before he died. This guy is trying to succeed and he's not succeeding. I'm explaining the point here. Listen to me. Spiritual things control physical things. Wealth is not directed by a man's labor. It is directed by the blessing of God. Wealth is repelled by what we call curses in life. We discussed that over the last many weeks. I want us to understand this because the Bible says it, that a man with an evil eye runs after wealth but does not know that poverty will come upon him. The thing you are running after is not necessarily what will come upon you. Everything you do in life is a seed. What you will enjoy or suffer is a reward for the seed that you sowed. Yeah, you getting the principle? That is, if you do what is right, it will come back to you as prosperity. It will come back to you as wealth. It will come back to you as greatness. Yet, you never sought after greatness. Yet, the man who sought after greatness, who networked with the greatest politicians, who went for every meeting that did not concern him, will never get it. Yet, the young man who did not know how to curse his elders, who will see an old man in distress at night and he will give his last money to an old man to take transport home while he treks the same distance, the man will suddenly break into greatness and you will never find out why. Listen to this. Jesus said that what you do in secret is what God rewards openly. The things that people do openly are never the things that bring them into open reward. The things that really bring them into open reward, they are done in secret. It's very important we understand this. I'm explaining again. We are talking about building a great future today. I want to explain the things that you are supposed to do today that will cause you to step into a great future tomorrow. My people have a saying. They said, the man that wants to walk upon cool ground, the first thing he does is to throw water forward. What a lot of us try to do is to fetch water and be pouring it at the point that we want to step on right now. No. If you want cool grounds tomorrow, you throw water ahead of you today. What I'm teaching in this series is how to throw the right kinds of water into the right places. That is your future. That's what we are discussing. There is a principle. The Bible says that the things that are recorded in the scriptures were recorded for our learning. That is, if we do the right things, we'll get the right results. Solomon chose wisdom primarily because his father had taught him ahead of time. Anytime you get to crossroads, my son, choose wisdom. He said, exalt her and she shall promote you. He said, a crown of glory shall she deliver unto you and an ornament of grace. Wisdom will prolong your life. Wisdom will set you up on high. It will give you wealth and riches and long life. So when God asked Solomon, what do you want me to do for you? Solomon remembered that his father has said, choose wisdom. He looked at his assignment in front of him. He knew it was enormous. He turned to the counsel of his father that he had given him before he died, and he chose wisdom. And by choosing the right things, God told him, you have not asked for riches, I will give it to you. You have not asked for the life of your enemies, I will give it to you. I will give you long life on top of the wisdom that you have asked for. What am I trying to say here? What the man reached out for was not precisely what he got. He got far beyond what he asked for. And that is the way life is, because everything that you do in life is a seed. What you will enjoy or suffer, it is the fruit of that seed that you planted into the ground. Life is lived as a reward. I keep on emphasizing. Life is not lived as an effort. As a young man, sometimes maybe your friends are pursuing money and they posted you, maybe you are a youth copper to a village. I was preaching in NYC camp the other day and I told the young man there, I said, listen, people may tell you that the nation is cheating you. They have posted you into the bush to come and suffer. Meanwhile, so you want to redeploy and go to Lagos because there's money there. You want to go to Port Harcourt because oil is flowing there. You want to go to Abuja, you want to go and be doing contracts. That's what the young men want to do. But the young boy sits down there and says, before I leave this place, this secondary school that I have been posted to, nobody passed physics in the last 2 years of their doing SSCE exam. I will ensure that distinctions in maths and physics will be the order of the day if I'm given the time in this 1 year. God looks at the heart of such a young man. He said, you are sowing a seed for your tomorrow. Your mates are going to look for money. They don't understand that the man who gets money is not the one that looks for it, but the one that God has given it to as a reward for his labors. Are you getting my point? That is the labor he did in the manner pleasing to God. Let me explain this to us again. This is the way life is. God has commanded everybody to do something about his life when he's a young man. I just have to read this scripture to us again to emphasize the point I'm making. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. He said, rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. If you read verse 13 of chapter 12, he said, the conclusion when all has been heard is, fear God and obey his commandments, because this applies to every person. He said, for God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. What I want to emphasize or underscore from this point is this. Every act that a man does, every act that a young woman does, God brings it to judgment. What's the meaning of the word judgment? It means that God looks at it and gives it what the Bible calls the just recompense of reward. The emphasis here is on that which you did when nobody saw it. That is, the things that you did that were inconsequential in the eyes of people. The Bible said that God will bring that thing to judgment. What it means is that that is the reason why God will either bless you or God will step you down for the rest of your life. Listen to this. What an old man, what a middle-aged woman becomes is not decided in their middle ages or when they are old. It is decided when they are yet young. And God said, the responsibility for what your tomorrow will be, I have placed it in your hands. Are you getting my point? God has committed the responsibility for your future into your hands. But what people don't understand is the method by which they are supposed to build their future. He said, there is a proper time and a proper procedure for every event on the earth. What people do a lot of times is to use the wrong procedure for doing certain things. They want to build their future. They use the wrong method. They don't understand that spiritual energies are generated in their seed time, which will come back to them, directing harvest in their direction, in their future. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is the method. That's what I want to emphasize. The method you will use to build your future is by sowing the right seeds during seed time. Harvest time, in the seasons when you will be expecting good in life, what you will get is a reward, and it is automatic. It is not a matter of trial. Listen, events in life, I've explained again and again, they are controlled by spiritual forces. Whether you meet that right man that will link you to the right jobs, that will link you to the right places, is decided by spiritual forces. The day you are supposed to meet a man that will lead you into perdition, God can put a shot through your tire and your car is delayed and the man gets angry and goes away. That will be because you are a blessed man who God wants to deliver from evil. If you remember last week, I told a story that the Bible said that the wicked woman, a woman who will be a bad wife that will not allow her husband to ever prosper, that it is God that delivers a young man from marrying her. Are you getting my point? Sometimes I see young men, the way they behave, I tell myself, this man does not plan in life to marry a good wife. He thinks he does, but you see the way he goes around chasing women, exchanging one girlfriend on the other. After sleeping with one a number of times, he said he's tired, he wants another one. I said, this guy is eating away his ability to have a happy home. He doesn't understand it. Listen, when he finally gets married, he will marry a Jezebel. What some of them do is that they want to go and marry a young and innocent girl. What they don't understand is wickedness is in the heart. It's not a matter of age or exposure. Are you getting my point? Wickedness is in the heart. Some of the proudest people I have ever seen were housemaids. Listen, getting a good wife is not phoning your mother in the village to arrange a village girl for you. Getting a good wife is treating young women with purity. Today, then God will deliver you from all the Jezebels that could have come your way. Listen, your future is built by your hands according to the spiritual seeds that you sow today. If you're in your seed time, get ready, because you have to lay a future for your tomorrow. That's what I'm emphasizing. Now, another point I want us to understand, which is very important in this, is this. When we're talking about building a great future, the ability to conceive great things is usually limited by people's experiences. And I want to debunk some things. A lot of times, you read newspapers, you read magazines, they will tell you that when they listed the best 200 universities in the world, no Nigerian university was listed. The most capitalized bank in the world, or the first 500, maybe, I'm not sure they have the exact figure there, no Nigerian bank was there. When they checked the best hospitals in the world, when they counted the first 200, no Nigerian hospital was there. When you hear such reports, you know what it's telling you? Indirectly, they are telling you that you are from a place where no good things come from. They will remember to tell you that Transparency International said we are the second or third most corrupt nation on the earth. But they forget to tell you that they took one of our own and went and gave her an honor in South Korea. Yes, our banks are not amongst the most capitalized in the world, but they took our CBN governor and gave him the honor. The best banker of the year. What am I trying to say? Where you are from cannot dictate whether you will be great or you will not be great. Listen to me. Greatness is inside people. It is not inside places. Are you getting my point? If you are great, it is inside you. What God is saying is build your life in such a manner that your greatness can become manifest. And let nobody tell you that you are a small person. Like I gave us examples last week. The first time Michael Jordan tried to play basketball, they told him he had no future in it. Lester Sumrall wanted to preach. They said, in a million years, you won't make it as a preacher. Cisco was judged mentally retarded. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. That is, a man's today cannot dictate what his tomorrow will be. After they said that none of our Nigerian universities is amongst the top universities in the world. But listen to me, that doesn't mean that the banker of the year will not come from a Nigerian university. What am I saying? You are not disadvantaged in any form. I like what a man of God said once. He came to preach in our church. He said, if somebody says, I know this person, what he is saying is that I know what he used to be because he has no way of knowing the person's tomorrow. So he's describing you according to what you used to be. But this is good news I want to give you. What you will be tomorrow can only be described by God, and you can cooperate with God by doing the right things today. And your yesterday can never decide what your tomorrow will be. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That is, you are listening to me, maybe you hardly went to school. I have news for you. Some of the richest men in the world, I'll give you a name, Peter Daniels, hardly went to school. Yet his family is the only one in the world that has a private bullion company. So you're in good company. I like what Yonggi Cho said once. If you see Yonggi Cho's degrees, they're all honorary. Yonggi Cho is the pastor of the largest church in the world. He said that because I hardly went to school, I surround myself with very, very great men. On the board of the church and all the things that the church is involved in are professors, first-class holders, big-time engineers, legal minds, all kinds of people. Yet the man himself sits as the chairman in the midst of them all, yet he hardly went to school. What am I telling you? Where you were yesterday cannot decide where you will be tomorrow. Let me explain that again. If you read Psalm 75, God said, this is the way it works. Exaltation or promotion does not come from the east or the west, nor from the south. He said, but God is judge. He lifts up one and brings down another. Let me explain that to you again. East or west refers to surrounding circumstances. What's the price of the dollar in Naira? On the most corrupt nations of the world, what's the position of your country? That is the surrounding circumstances. He said, when they say the most capitalized banks, your country, how many do they have in there? He said, those are the surrounding circumstances. Have you found a job in the last 2 years? How many jobs have you been able to find? How much are you being paid currently? God said, that cannot decide whether you will be great or you will not be great. Are you getting my point? He said, not from the south. The south refers to where you are coming from. Who was your father? What degrees do you have? Okay, you went to which university? Which course did you study? Did you study a professional or a non-professional course? Okay, in the non-professional course you study, at least try and get a good grade. Oh, you had only a third class. Or even if you had a first class. God said, all of these things put together cannot decide what your tomorrow will be. He said, what decides what tomorrow is be? He said, God is judge. He looks at your works and he either lifts you up or he brings you down. That is why I feel sorry for young men who cooperate with Satan, thinking that because they are disadvantaged, they have found an excuse to go into corruption. This is because Nigeria is bad, so I have to be a 419. Because the country is not making progress, I have to steal. Listen, you have just given God another reason to ensure that you never make it in life. Are you getting the point I need to make? What guarantees you tomorrow, what guarantees you a bright future, is that today you imbibe the right attitudes. You imbibe the right attitudes. You begin to do the right works.
and you relax, and in due season, God will lift you up. Go and watch it very well. Most people in life that became great and exceedingly great, a few years before that, they did not know they were going to get to where they got to. I have seen people who sit in their houses, and then people come and say, come and do this job for me. Come and do this job for me. He got up and went and did that job. He did it so well, he got another job. A few years down the line, the man was a millionaire. And he's wondering, how did I get here? That is what we call the grace of God. The power of God working beyond your own ability. That is what will bring you to a great tomorrow if you do the right things today. Remember, the right things is not try and look for money today. The right thing is simply sowing the right spiritual seeds. Doing the things that are right and normal for somebody in your season in life. Let me give you a very practical example. They have given you a job and they are paying you only 5,000 naira a month. That is no excuse to steal. If you steal from that man, you will be poor for life. If you don't like the job, walk away. If you take the job, be faithful in it. It's the faithfulness in the time of affliction that God uses to decide whether you'll be great tomorrow or you'll be small forever. Listen to me, difficulty is never the excuse to do wickedly. If you do wrong, you have just justified your poverty. Peter explained it like this. If you are going to be punished, make sure that your punishment is unjust. That way, God will be your defense. But if a man is paying you poorly, and you say because of that, you will not do any work, God is saying, you have just gotten what you deserve. I can never lift you up. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is, a great man is the one people are always owing. Let me explain what I'm trying to say here. That is, they pay you 10,000, but you work for 20. You are a great man. Poverty mentality people will get up and say, I have to resume my father's business. After how much am I being paid? They justify all their wrong attitudes by the things that they are experiencing. Meanwhile, God said, I have put you in such experiences. Whether I will find an excuse to bring you out of them. If in the center of your adversity, you do righteously. Jeremiah explained it like this. That it is good for a young man to bear his burdens in the day of his youth. Listen to me. When you are young and you are poor, it's good time. That is the time to tell God that despite my poverty, I will not deny you. I will not do wickedly. God said, therefore, I will make sure you are not poor for life. You will become great and you will become indeed very great. I hope you get the point I'm trying to make here. Now, that's how you build a great future for your life. Are you following my point? Listen, what have I explained today? That where you were yesterday and where you are currently will not decide where you are going to tomorrow. What will decide what your future will be is what you believe today, your attitude toward life today, and how your works are judged in the sight of God. That's what we're talking about. In the last many weeks, we're talking about breaking the curses in your life. Like I said at the beginning, yes, we have discussed the negative things, how to come out of them. We are now discussing how to step far into the positive, how to become indeed very great. Now that the curses in your life have been removed, the blood of Jesus has washed away your past. The so-called ancestral curses that were supposed to hold you in bondage, we have seen that they can never hold you in bondage. And you are speaking according to these words. Now, if you believe all of these things, there are other things you need to do to guarantee yourself a bright future. And that's what we are talking about. I hope you are getting my point. Now, let me end today by introducing what we are going to be discussing next time. I have explained that you have a responsibility to build your house and that there is seed time and harvest. Don't forget, choices in life are made during the seed time. Whether you'll be poor, you'll be rich, you'll be successful, or be frustrated in life is decided during the seed time. Frustration or satisfaction is a natural consequence of the decisions taken during the seed time. They are natural. You can't help them. What are you supposed to do, therefore? Sow the right seeds during seed time. There are three basic things I am going to explain about sowing the right seeds for your future. Number one, we are going to look at your attitudes, your beliefs, your thought patterns, your faith. Number two, the works that come out of those things spontaneously. And then number three, the words that you speak prophetically about your future. Now, because these things are very important. Three seeds you must sow accurately. Number one, you must have the right beliefs. You must have the right faith. Number two, as a consequence of your faith, you will do the right works. And number three, also as a consequence of that faith, you will speak the right words. In life, you can decide to struggle like Adam. When God cursed Adam, he told Adam that the earth will not quickly yield increase for you, but will bring forth for you thorns and thistles. But he said you can eat bread by struggles. That is one. That is not a sign of greatness. Listen, to wake up very early and go to bed late, no matter how much money you make, it's not a sign of greatness. What you are doing is that you are using your health to procure wealth. It doesn't work like that. God's order is that he will give you both health and wealth as a reward for the right seed. So you can succeed apparently in life by struggling. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about succeeding in the face of adversity without going through the struggles that human beings thought was necessary. We're talking about people saying that can anything good come out of Nigeria? And they say, come and see. And it is you they are coming to look at. That is what we are talking about. Now, these things can never come to pass by your own struggles. What will happen is that God will lead you to the right places at the right times. You will meet the right people at the right times. You will do the right things at the right time. And wealth and success and prosperity will flow towards you naturally. I say, how does this come? Because you sow the right seeds at the right time. Are you getting my point I'm making? You will find out that success and prosperity will come to you spontaneously. God has never ordained for you to struggle. God has never ordained that you will be blessed only when the place where you are in is blessed. God's order for you is that even if you are in a place that is not blessed, what will happen is that the blessedness, the greatness that he has placed inside you will come out, and the place where you are will become blessed because of you. Do you understand the point I'm going to make here? That was why when Abraham was going to separate from Lot, he said, Lot, take anywhere. And Lot took the place that appeared naturally blessed. But don't forget, he came out of that place absolutely empty. He took nothing out. But Abraham looked to where God wanted him to look, to the east, the north, the south, and the west. And God said, all the land that you have seen, even if the land was barren, I will bless it for your sake. I hope you are getting my point. That these places are blessed because of people, and people are not blessed because of places. I tell people that, look, I, as far as I'm concerned, I love the country in which I was born. I love the country in which I live because it is my opportunity for greatness. Are you getting my point? To do something positive in the land that people said was barren, and you see productivity from that land, then you know God is with you. Not to follow the bandwagon. To go only to places that are good. Listen to me. Greatness is inside me, and I must manifest for my generation to see. What I do in my own season of sowing is to do the right things, whether it appears like it is making money or bringing success or not, because I know that my judgment is with God. Are you getting my point? That's why Solomon said, even if the works I'm doing is in secret, said, but at the right time, God will bring that work out and judge it openly. Listen, when men are being blessed, you don't know why God is blessing them. Are you following the point I'm making? You don't know why God is blessing them. There is something Jesus said that was done in secret that God is rewarding openly. And that's what I'm teaching us at this season. Learn to do the things in secret. Stop running up and down like young men who have no vision. Have a great vision for your life. And God will bring great things to happen in this generation. I hope you understand what I'm saying.
In this series, here are more words from Pastor Banky.
There's what I call the priestly corner of life. That is, there are things you do that appear wasteful, appear like nonsense. Yet God is saying that will be the foundation for your great tomorrow. My conscience must be commended towards God. That God is the one that gives the kingdom to whosoever he pleases. And the things that I do in secret are being watched by God. Listen to me, that doesn't look like sound economic principles. But God said that thing that he has done is a priestly function in his life. He has done it because of his fear of God. It is the reason why he would be great. And those who did not do it would be serving him. You have to understand that God is not limited by circumstances. The Bible says that it is nothing for God to save by a few or save by a multitude. Colorful and bright. My future is bright, I must get there. How do I know my future is bright? Simply because it has been described by the Word of God.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.